Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Well, Kelly Harrington has, as you heard there in the news, guaranteed herself at least an Olympic boxing bronze as she secured a place in the lightweight semi-final after a unanimous decision victory over Algeria's Imani Khalif. Harrington will now go on to face Thai fighter Sudhaporn Seasundee on Thursday morning for a place in the Olympic final. This is just some of what Kelly had to say after the fight.
The support that I'm getting from the community back home, I've heard that it's late back home, you know, and I'm just so happy, and my emotions really come when it comes to this, because to be able to give them something to be happy about and to sing and dance for is just, you know, just one person like lifting a little bit of a nation. So.
And that was Kelly, and I'm joined on the line now from Iceland by Kelly's brother Christopher. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning, good morning.
Oh, it's great to hear Kelly there. So much emotion. You can hear it in her voice there. She's just clearly putting her heart and soul into this.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier on this morning, it's sport is an emotional thing. And I think the support from the community and everybody at home is really touching for Kelly.
Yeah, I think anyone who's seen the scenes from Portland Row, it's basically green, white and gold all the way there for Kelly. And she's obviously very grateful for that. I mean, she made such a point of thanking everybody and talking about the people back home today.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why Kelly has such a big support, not only from home, to be honest, but from all around the world as well. You know, we have people, friends that she's made all over the world, in the States, over here in Iceland, all parts of the world. And I think just because of the person she is, if you put the boxer aside, the people that support Kelly love her for the person she is, the values, the morals that she lives by. And I think that's why people can definitely relate to her in the community and all around the world, you know. And the boxing is just a part of it.
Yeah, well, it's a big part of it, though. I mean, what goes through your mind when you watch your little sister in the ring?
A lot of things. Hard to put it into any type of description. You know, obviously, you're a little bit nervous, as with any sporting event, but also excited, because you know I know the work that she's put in over the years, and now she's just been given the platform to showcase the talent and the work that she's done over the years. So excitement and a little bit of nervousness also. Yeah,
I heard your mother this morning saying that your mother can't watch it. She can't watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she's my ma's definitely a bag of nerves, you know. I mean, you can't fault her. It's a young girl in the ring, potentially getting the head boxed off. So yeah, it's probably like any mother, you know.
But you know, when you watch that fight, I don't know if a lot of people, if they weren't up in the middle of the night, and I know a lot of people did get up in the middle of the night to see it, but anyone who have seen the rerun since then, she was smiling. She looked so relaxed, so happy to be in there.
Yeah, and that's the way Kelly basically approaches, I think, not only boxing but her life. You know, she's humble, and she's just grateful to have the chance to be there and do what she loves to do. And like I said, I think it's it goes hand in hand, the way she is as a human being and a person, the upbringing that she's had. It all ties into one, and you know, she's just loving it. She's having the time of her life over there.
Is it 3 years that's between you, yourself and Kelly?
Yeah, so, I'm on the older side, unfortunately, yeah.
Would you have sparred as kids?
I wouldn't call it sparred, I'd call it probably more of me getting the head bit off me more so than anything else, you know.
Do you think it's sinking in with her? Because I see she was saying, you know, the big thing for her was to get there. And now, you know, she's obviously got a medal in the bag, at least a bronze. You know, that's such a huge achievement.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we've said all along, even to get to the Olympics for any athlete is the pinnacle of sport. But to have a bronze now and potentially more on the way, I mean, I won't, like Joel, my brother, said earlier on, I won't sink in for Kelly until she's finished with what she's doing, you know. So for the moment, I think she's just in it and focused on what she needs to be doing.
And also in that interview she gave after the win in the early hours of the morning, our time, she mentioned St. Vincent's Hospital as well, because of course she was still working there.
Yeah, and you know, that basically sums up Kelly, you know, and the fact she gives people, she mentioned this morning, something to sing and dance about. That's a big thing for her, being able to make people happy. She's a pleaser, and it's you know, if she was home tomorrow and had a chance to go into work the next day, she'd be there, you know, and that's just how she is.
Yeah, and she was actually, I know, because I know she talked about this, you know, in the run-up to the Olympics, that she was at the front line of COVID. She was in there cleaning COVID wards, even as she was training for, you know, the biggest event of her life.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, and I probably can't say it enough, it's the values and morals that she lives by. She's a person that likes to help. She's a person that does things for people in need. You know, we obviously, well, not myself at the moment, but we're obviously a stone's throw away from O'Connell Street. And if you try to walk into O'Connell Street with Kelly, even though it's 5 minutes away, it'll take you probably an hour and a half, because she'll try and stop every old person on the way and try to help them carry their messages, and it'll end up taking you 2 hours to make a 5 minute walk. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, she was on the front line, and you know, trying to help the country and the nation and the other workers that were also given everything at the time and still are.
You're in sport as well yourself. You're head coach of what's the team?
I'm head coach of Fram over here in Reykjavik, Iceland.
How's that going?
Yeah, going very well. This is me second year in the job, and we're currently pushing for promotion, which is a big one for us to do so quickly, to be honest. So far, so good, you know. But like anything in sport, things can change very quickly. So we take it day by day.
Right. And you will, of course, be watching Kelly's fight on Thursday morning. What time will it be on Iceland time?
It'll be on at 5 o'clock over here. So not as early as today. So. Not too bad.
Okay. Will you be nervous?
Yeah, like I said earlier on, nervous and excited. You know, the girl that she fights is she's obviously fought her before. So, you know, just a little bit nervous because it's my sister. That doesn't ever take away from the fact that she is my sister. But again, like I said, excited for her to go in and be able to showcase her talent and what she's worked for so hard over the years.
Will she be nervous, do you think? What will her head be like going into that fight?
I can probably tell you, like, Sophie, that she'll just approach it like she's been approaching everything, you know. You know, after the fight today, knowing Kelly, the thought in her head was probably what she's having for her dinner. You know, that's Kelly. It's moment by moment, you know, and I think she's just so relaxed, and it's probably a confidence in her own ability as well. So I definitely don't think she'll be worried or nervous going into the fight. More of an excitement to get back in, I think.
Okay, well, I suppose the whole nation can do all the worrying and have all the nerves for her, because I'm sure you know, Christopher, the whole country is cheering her and hoping for the best and cheering her on. But let's all have our fingers crossed for Thursday morning. Christopher, many thanks for joining us from Iceland this morning, and best of luck.
Thanks a million, no problem.
Thanks, Christopher. Okay, let's go to Tokyo now.
RTE Radio 1 Sport with a Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
Kia, movement that inspires.
Des, you just heard... Des, how are you? Des Cahill in Tokyo, of course, joining me now. You just heard Kelly Harrington's brother, Christopher, there. Amazing achievement for her and her family.
Yeah, for the family. And he mentioned, she's the athlete I would know best of the team that's out here. And like, she brought me over to St. Vincent's Hospital about 2 or 3 years ago to come over and meet everybody one Sunday. And like, it was Deep Purple music going on but anyway, it's all the cracks she was having with everybody. She doesn't need to work, in terms of, she was funded, as you know, as part of the Elite Sports Programme, but she says she couldn't give that up her link with everybody at St Vincent's Hospital. And it's interesting, after the fight, one of the first groups she mentioned was everybody at St Vincent's Hospital, apart from her family and neighbours. So I think that is one of the many things that makes her very attractive to Irish people. I think she's the girl next door, and she has a warmth, a genuine warmth, self-depreciating kind of humour. And I think that's why I'm glad at last everybody's kind of getting to know Kelly Harrington in a complete, rounded way, because she has, I think, very special qualities by leading sports people standards. Interestingly enough, in terms of, I think she felt under massive pressure ahead of the games. Christopher was saying that she's sound now, but you probably know she was meant to qualify, you know, for in a London qualifying tournament, and it got on the day she was to fight, COVID hit, and they were sent home. So she had to wait a year to know would she be even going to the games. And then that was only 2 months ago. So that was a tough year for her, I think, that she had a whole extra year and not knowing would she even be in the Olympics. So I think that was tough. So I think I was nervous, very nervous for her in her first fight, just all of that. But do you know actually who, Kevin McMenamin, the Dublin footballer, as in goal against Kerry.
Yeah. He's yes, Des, thank you for reminding us.
Well, he's working with the boxing team in sports psychology, and Hakuna Matata now could well have come from Kevin Mack.
Yeah, the Hakuna.
Very good at that.
First of all, the look of her in that ring, the smiling, she dodged, punches. And then, as I say, that interview afterwards where she came out and said, Hakuna Matata, no worries. She's just such a special athlete.
She is, but part of the smiling now is a bit of psychology, in that Joanne was sticking her tongue out at her, and it was kind of, you're not psyching me out as well, a bit of the smiling. But she certainly enjoyed the way, the comfort of the fact that she had the first two rounds won. I think she just had to avoid trouble then, and she knew she was going well. So there was a confidence in her. And it is fantastic. It's great. But I do think she has a special appeal for Irish people. I might be wrong, but I just think she has those qualities that do make her stand out.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Yeah. And we have a few of those athletes on Team Ireland. But it was a bit of a disappointing weekend, we have to say, Des.
Well, you say what's disappointing, though, like in terms of what are we expecting to get coming out here? Was it 5 medals? Was it 7 medals? I think Sport Ireland's target was between 5 and 7 medals. So realistically, I mean, obviously it's disappointing when an Irish athlete doesn't win or qualify or something, but that would make us China. You know what I mean? I mean, the reality of what we can expect from our nation, you know?
Yeah. And we're right up there. I think, what did you say? We're winning a medal every 2.75
days.
Right, okay. If
the best sports stat ever.
Right, so we're clinging on to
it. If we keep this going, we'll have 4.7 medals.
The Irish show jumping team competing today, Des. What are our medal chances there?
Well, do you know, they always do well, Katie. They always do well. Their next man in the ring, actually, no, we're two away. Egypt in the ring now, number 5. This is individual show jumping, and we have 3 superb show jumpers, and that's why I think we're in with a chance at it. Derek Kenny, Bertram Allen and Kian O'Connor. But there are 73 individuals jumping, and 30 will qualify for the final tomorrow night. So there are only 5 of them have jumped so far, and Derek Kenny will be first in. He'll be in the next 10 or 15 minutes if people want to watch it. He'll be in number 8, Bertram Allen 16, and Kian O'Connor and Kilkenny will be 25th into the arena. But 73, and they have to finish in the top 30 to make the final. So that'll be tough enough.
Okay, and always lovely to watch, of course, show jumping as well. Katie,
Do you know what's unreal to watch? The show jumping, by the way, is floodlit, which adds to it. Do you know what I've been watching this afternoon? Climbing is unreal.
Is this another discipline I'm going to have to become an expert in 20 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the issue. We all turn like that. It's new to the Olympics, right? And like when I saw it initially, climbing, what's that about? You know, why is that in the Olympics? But when you think of it, there's running, jumping, diving, kicking, cycling, boxing. But I've been watching the climbing, and it is a brilliant television sport. It really is. It's a fascinating television sport. But what has thrown it into the mix is, I mean, I'm sure you've seen these indoor walls, haven't you, where people climb up and there's boulders sticking out from the walls. And the walls are at an angle and you're almost going up backwards. what they've done here is they've brought three disciplines into it. It's called sport climbing. So there's speed, lead and bouldering. And what's really thrown the best climbers in the world is these are the ones who can negotiate boulders sticking way out and you know, at perilous angles. What's thrown them all is they've brought in speed climbing, like a straight race. You're in lane A, I'm in lane B, off we go, up the wall, who gets there quickest? That's one of the three elements. Because climbers do not like speed for obvious reasons.
Safety climbers being the number
one. Nature of it. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And you test everything, you know, you put your foot in your hand and you check it out before you commit to the next move. So it's that's really interesting. And some of the top climbers now were reluctant to get involved because of the speed climbing. So that's a straight race up. Then there's bouldering, the 15-metre boulder wall. And some of them approach it, first of all, by putting their hands up onto the first boulder and then they flip and they put their feet up over their heads and over on top of the boulder. It's huge athleticism, a mix of strength and balance and nerve. And they're wearing shorts. Their legs are covered in bruises. Their hands are covered in blood. They use the white powder to get a grip as they go along. But honestly, it is fascinating to watch. It really is. And there's an American competitor, Kyra Condie, who had scoliosis surgery as a child. So as a result, she has limited flexibility in her back and it forces her to be more creative and probably take more risky movements to navigate tight spaces on the wall. So it really is something
you,
that I
you
think
sold
people
me, Des,
would come
you,
across.
You have sold me. I'll be watching that one. talk about John Coughlan. People mightn't realise that there was some coaching success for another Irishman on the track.
Yeah. Very significant success, massive success, a gold medal coach, John Coughlan, with Puerto Rico's first gold medal, Jasmine Camacho Quinn. Now, he wanted to be a coach. He's a former athlete, but he worked for Meath GAA. But the lure of full-time athletics coaching, there just isn't many full-time athletics coaching jobs, Katie, obviously, in Ireland. And it was suggested to him that Camacho Quinn, operating out of Florida, needed someone to guide her. So he kind of took a gamble and went out to her. And at times, she didn't like the way he was going about it. She gave him huge credit afterwards. And he was saying that, John Coughlan was saying he's a bit of a nerd, a kind of geek on technique. And it took a little bit to get her to buy in. There was some stuff she didn't want to do. And he had to tell her, come on, it'll work. And she wasn't sure. And she admitted that at times there's a fractious relationship, but like all coaches and elite athletes. But she said afterwards that without him, she wouldn't have done it. So it's a huge, huge boost for John Coughlan and probably opens up a lot of avenues for him worldwide.
Simone Biles back on the balance beam today.
Yeah, and she has just completed. The competition took about 50 minutes. It only finished there in the last half hour. She made her return to the competition floor in beam. Her score of 14, she finished with a bronze medal. After her dismount, though, I think everyone just wanted her to get through it because people would know by now the world's best gymnast, and because of mental health issues, she chose not to compete in five other disciplines. But after her dismount, she smiled, she put her hand over her heart and she ran over to embrace her coach. And I think that's really what everyone wanted to see, just that A, she had enjoyed it, B, she'd come through it with a bronze medal. People might have expected more from her in terms of medals, but I think really what people wanted was for her to come through it.
Yeah, because I think lot of people have been educated in the world now about this concept of the twisties and how terrifying that would be.
It's a horrible thought, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it kind of transforms how you watch gymnastics, I think, once you are aware of what can happen. And climbing, well, when I do start watching climbing, I'm sure it'll come into that as well, Des.
It's the same thing, though. It's self-doubt, isn't it? And you can't afford to have self-doubt, either climbing or flipping, you know, on a beam or whatever. So, but when it's golfers have the yips, you've heard of that, have you?
Oh, indeed, yeah.
Like some of the best golfers.
It's not dangerous, though, when you have the yips as a golfer, as it is if you have the twisties as a gymnast.
It is when you're playing for a tenner, believe me. But
the New Zealand weightlifter, Des, Laurel Hubbard.
Yeah, she generated a huge amount of controversy here, and it must have been very tough. The first transgender athlete to compete in the Olympics, she had previously competed as a man and then in 2012 she transitioned, and then she started to have success, and several people felt she had an unfair advantage in the women's competition here, but she didn't make an impact in the competition, and no medal for her, and a lot of publicity, you know, that can't have been easy. The focus on her was great, and it can't have been easy for her.
Yeah, I watched her actually yesterday doing her lift, and she looked happy that
she failed to lift.
Yeah, but she looked, you know, she had that she made that heart shape before she left the stage. There was the sense that she was very happy to be on that, to have been given that platform.
Yeah, and it's a first, and it moves things on. She's 43 as well. She has life experience, but I did feel sorry for her with the focus. It was in Tokyo. It was a huge focus here, and there was a huge number of journalists going to it who would not otherwise have been going to cover the event, etc. But as you say, on her side, relief. And sorry, I'm just looking here in the show jumping. There's happiness here in there.
Yes.
Sorry, they've cut away from now. I just want to see, have we a score for Dara before I'll come back to you with it. Murphy's Law, as soon as I look at it, they cut away from it.
But, all right, so we have...
Kenny is competing shortly, you know.
Okay, well, we don't have the score there. I'm going to have to leave you in a second. Do you think you're going to get that?
Yeah, go on. You talk for 10 seconds. Go on, ask me something and I'll check his score.
Very quickly, we won't have time to go into it, but that extraordinary story from the high jump final on Sunday, Des.
Yeah, well, it was, what was very unusual about it was, how I can't click on this and answer that. What was unusual about it, Katie, was that there's normally a jump off and the two athletes decided to share the title. And that was so unusual and caused a bit of surprise in the stadium, etc.
And they came up with it themselves. They could have gone, and one of them would have gone silver and one gold, but they actually decided together that they would go for a joint gold.
Exactly. And it was a very joyous, happy kid. You see, that was a classic example, Katie, of where it was a shame there wasn't a packed stadium and the atmosphere that would have generated and created. Good news, Okay. Switching. Dara Kenny's in the lead.
Woo-hoo.
Clear round, and the quickest time so far. Not just the quickest time, but the quickest time so far by 5.5 seconds. That's a huge margin.
Okay.
He's 82 seconds, 87. But now, hang on, there's only 8 gone and there's 73 going. But he's leading. So well done, Dara Kenny on Cartello. Leading. That's a good way to finish this, Katie.
Okay.
We're leading.
We're leading in the show jumping at this moment in time. Okay, I'll let you go back to the climbing as well there, Des.
Thanks
for that. Great to talk to you. Now, coming up, Irish researchers need your help collecting bat droppings. We'll hear all about that next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.